I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You smell something?
Put that cookie down!
Hello and welcome to the Mighty Motion Picture Rangers. I'm Shane.
I'm Chancellor.
I'm Josh.
We're filmmakers, we're fans, and we are fooling around this week. We have some really fun games, I guess you could say. We were
sexy games.
Sexy. Maybe not. Maybe not. I mean, maybe after we turn
nothing
the mic
off.
Nothing
is sexier than card games. Come on. You get a game
of
Uno.
Nothing is sexier than approaching a stranger in an elevator and pitching him your movie.
That is true.
Oh, nice segue there. Today what we're going to be doing is we're going to be playing a game. I'll go into a little bit more detail about it, but we're playing sort of a card game on air, and you'll be able to buy this game later and you can maybe win a copy. But
will the game be released by the time this episode
it
airs?
It will absolutely be. I had to coordinate be that for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Okay.
People. Technically, it's not out when we're recording it now. So the links will all be in the show notes.
So now it's exclusive. So
I got a beta deck. I'm awesome. But
so this is an exclusive first.
This is our first exclusive. It's an exclusive exclusive. Yes.
Breaking exclusive.
It's really hard to say when you have a lisp.
It does. Is it exclusive?
Exclusive.
Why does Lisp have the letter S in it? I've always wondered.
Because whoever invented the English language sucks.
And they hate
bad.
Specifically you, Chancellor. I hate you.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, anyway, as always, we try to start every episode by asking the question, what have you been watching? And we'll throw it to Chancellor. Chancellor, what have you been watching this week?
Good. I am very excited to say that this week I got the wonderful chance to finally see Three Billboards in Ebbing, Missouri. Oh.
What do you think?
Ah, number three, man. Like, it is easily...
Number three what?
Of my top 10.
Oh, right.
I can't remember the rest of the movies in there. Two and one.
You had this is
a lot of them were honorable
Roar mentions. And Roar and Shape of Water.
Yeah, so that was one and two. Ebbing is three. Just everything about that movie was so good. The ending, it was funny because me and my wife,
the Australian actress.
She was awful. I honestly couldn't figure out whether she was Australian or not because first she sounded Southern, then she sounded English when she was doing the whole...
I think she started trying to do an accent and then they're like, oh, this isn't working.
No, I'm going to look
just do your
her.
Normal accent.
Is she a major role? Is she like...
She's Woody Harrelson's wife in the movie.
Oh,
and she's a supporting character, but not like a main supporting character.
She has three main scenes with a lot of dialogue, and the first one she sounded Southern. The second one I thought she was English... maybe Australian. Third one, it sounded like someone doing a bad Australian accent. And then I Googled it. She is an Australian. She's also a rapper, which I haven't had the chance to like Google it and actually listen. Sorry?
Is it Iggy Azalea?
It's not Iggy Azalea, thankfully.
But she did go to the Michael Fassbender School of Acting where you changed the accent.
Oh, right, yeah.
Someone did a really rubbish accent. The Sam Worthington School of Accent Training.
Yeah.
Where just don't.
Do it for half the movie.
What?
Do it for some scenes, half the time.
No, but in those scenes, you flit in and out of it. That's
yeah, absolutely. You don't want to like 100% commit.
Keep the resistance on their toes.
I do want to say Three Billboards has not my favorite, not the most over-the-top Sam Rockwell dancing scene, but probably one of my favorites.
He dances in this as well?
He dances in it. Okay, tell me a Sam Rockwell film where he doesn't dance.
It's
very small, but it's very effective.
I'm excited even more.
And it's to ABBA, so that's I'm in
right.
love.
Do you consider this as far as Martin McDonagh's stuff?
Mm.
Yeah.
Where does it sit as far as in Bruges,
it
Seven
sucks,
Psychopaths,
like,
and Three Billboards?
I honestly probably like all three of them the same amount for different reasons.
Yeah, no,
because like even though they're the same person and they... Like, Martin McDonagh has such a clear voice in these movies, but they are so different
in
not really their tone, but like their themes and stuff. I got to say, this one made me well, probably because I actually saw this one with someone, because I saw this with my wife, and we talked a lot about it afterwards and what the ending meant and like how I...
Do you reckon like everyone else ranting on film Twitter that it's about vindicating abusive police officers, racist abusive police officers? That is like people are hating on that movie hardcore because of that.
Oh, wow, really? Because I really liked Sam Rockwell's arc. Once again, Sam Rockwell...
I don't think he's redeemed, but I don't think anyone's redeemed in that
no
movie.
No one's
I think
redeemed.
That's the point.
Absolutely. And that's what I love about it.
Sorry, we're not... Oh, fuck. Josh hasn't seen it. We need to avoid spoilers.
Yeah, I'm trying to, like, speak as vaguely as possible. But, like, Sam Rockwell once again pulls off this amazing, incredibly unlikable, likable person.
Yeah.
Like, he was probably my favorite part of Poltergeist, the remake.
I couldn't... Even with him in it, I just didn't like
it. No, it was a bad movie, but, like, I was like, oh, man... He makes daddy issues look good. But yeah, I think it was just a really great movie. And that's all I saw this week.
Josh, what have you seen this week?
Well, I saw a lot of stuff, but I'll save that for another time. But I'm just going to talk about The Shape of Water because holy moly.
You're a bit late, Josh. Come on, get on the bandwagon.
Shut up, John Stewart. Shut the fuck up.
It only just came out.
I didn't get to see it early with you guys. But no, I saw it last night actually with Shane. It's Shane's second time viewing it.
My second time seeing it,
and
yes.
It just seized me, grabbed me, and pulled me into its wonderful, wonderful world. And I was crying at the end. And I sat in silence through the end credits. I believe Shane was trying to, he was like waiting patiently, impatiently.
Yeah. I wanted to hear what he thought. I did cry. I cried more on the second time actually.
Oh, really?
Stuff. Because I think I wasn't. Because the first time I saw it, I was trying to figure out where it was going because it wasn't quite what you thought it was going to be,
it's
but in the best kind of way.
Yeah, it was, I thought it'd be more closely linked to like that underground facility, but like it escaped a lot more and it, like it journeyed a lot more where I didn't know it was going to go. And it's so beautiful and like it's all its allegories and like metaphors. It's great.
It's
and
such a good movie.
Performances across the board are amazing. Michael Shannon obviously plays these Michael Shannon stuff, but he does stuff that really scares me. It was creepy.
The fingers ripping off the fingers. Oh, it was gross. It's a movie.
It's still fresh in my mind. I believe last night I had a dream about water, so just take that.
He was dreaming. He's the prince without voice, except he has voice. So,
and I was fucking a fishman.
Fucking fishman.
We all have that dream.
Okay, well, what have I been watching? Because no one asked me that. I asked everyone else.
Hey, Shane, what have you been watching, man?
Yeah, you didn't even
just
let
tell
us
a little.
Calm down.
I watched a lot this week. So I binged the whole of this television show called The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, cool.
Which vaguely heard about it because it was on like, you know, they're like, oh, great shows in 2017 that you probably missed.
Was
lists.
It on Hulu or something?
Yeah, it's an Amazon show.
Amazon show.
It's famous because it's created by Amy Sherman Palladino, who's very famous for Gilmore Girls. And she's known for snappy Sorkin dialogue. And this is sort of like so good. But I reckon you'd love the plot, Chancer, because it's about a woman. It's like... So it's set in like the 50s, like late 50s, and it's this woman who's like the idealistic housewife. She does everything to perfection.
That does sound like something I love. I watch Stepford Wives because like that's my dream.
Robots. What happens is her life kind of goes awry from her plans that she has, and she takes up a career in stand-up comedy in the 50s when she interacts with like Lenny Bruce.
Okay.
And all that, they're like characters in it. And it's really cool. The show's about the kind of this fusion of this wholesome 50s imagery with the underground stand-up comedy where they're like, fuck this, fuck that. And it's really good. And the execution of the show is really great because pretty much 80% of it is shot in these like 5 minute long tracking shots on Steadicams for the whole lot. Every scene. And it's so, so good. It won the Golden Globe for Best Comedy Series and won for Best Comedy Actress. And that was what cued me to finally go around to watching because I'm like, oh, I heard about it on list. And then I sort of think, I'm like, okay, let's watch it. I sat down, binged the whole lot in like 2 days. It's really good.
Okay.
It kind of reminds me, I'm pretty sure this is a movie, I'm just looking it up now. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Punchline. Really great 88 film, I want to say. 80s film starring Tom Hanks and Sally Field. And like Sally Field plays this like suburban mum who's like married to John Goodman. and she's trying stand up, and John Goodman just hates her for it. And it's just a really interesting movie. Surprisingly, really feel good at the end as well.
Okay. So it's called Stand Up?
Punchline.
Okay,
I remember when I first started comedy, someone suggested the movie to me and it really blew me away. I completely forgot about it until you just mentioned that now.
Okay. Well, and so what else I watched? I watched The Post, Steven Spielberg's The Post.
Awesome. How was it? Great. Live up to the hype.
I don't think it's the best movie of the year, but all the things that people say about it are true to one extent or another. I think it's very timely.
Cocaine camera work, basically.
I expected wild, like, out there camera work. He does some moments that there's one moment, like, at the climax, the big, like, climax of the movie. He does a thing that I thought was visually one of the coolest decisions I've seen him make. But they kind of shot it. It's very. There's a lot of tracking shots, a lot of run and gun sort of stuff, because I found out, I was listening to a podcast with him being interviewed by Patty Jenkins, and it turns out from the moment he finished reading the script, because he was in post-production on Ready Player One, and then he was prepping a film, The Kidnapping of Mr. Something Rather, with Mark Rylance in the lead, and he read the script for The Post, and he's like, I have to make this. So from the moment he finished reading the script to handing in the answer print, the finished movie was 9 months.
Oh, geez.
It is nuts. It's crazy. He did a period piece, a long sort of... It's. I don't know how he fucking pulled it off. I thought 11 months for Sherlock
Herbal
Holmes.
Herbal tea, man. He drinks peppermint tea. It's all he drinks.
Yeah, he doesn't do coffee.
Because he doesn't do coffee. He doesn't do any drug of any kind except peppermint tea, which doesn't even have
caffeine. Let's be honest. He was probably doing drugs in the 70s. But everyone was. And I watched Coco.
Oh, yeah. How's that?
Good. It's very good. It's very full of feels. I think The Book of Life is way better. And I know there's a rivalry. And everyone's like, there's not a rivalry. But The Book of Life deals with the same kind of themes, but in a more mythic.
You've already divided some friends.
I've had arguments with friends over it. But
divided Mexican friends, man. And they know what they're talking about when it comes to Day of the Dead.
Dia de Muertos. I think The Book of Life deals with it in a much more mythic structure, which just to me, I mean, Del Toro produced it, so obviously it's going to be more in that tone that I like anyway. I think Coco does hit the emotions really well, and Coco deals with it in a more personal, just family members kind of story, which I thought was really good.
I'm kind of excited about the fact that, like, and I don't think it is ripping it off because I've read a lot about the pre-production behind Coco, but the fact that we have these two holiday movies of a holiday that is not strictly Western. It's specifically a Mexican holiday. It's got me kind of excited to see what else we're going to be doing with, where's our St. Patrick's Day movie? Yeah. I want to see Day of the Dead directed by What's-His-Face, where it's got like Jessica Alba and a billion other people and they all like get together and die, I guess. I don't know.
That'd be fun.
So like basically like the New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Gary Marshall. We resurrect Gary Marshall from Day of the Dead.
It makes sense. What else would you do?
But you know, it was good. Like I'd rate it well. I don't think it's Pixar's best. I'd rate it probably around the same place I rated Brave.
Cool.
Which I liked it. I didn't love it though. Mm. I watched a movie called Charlie Bartlett.
I fucking love Charlie Bartlett.
It's a good movie.
I didn't know it.
So it's got Anton Yelchin and Robert Downey Jr.
Oh.
And Anton Yelchin's like this.
Was this pre-Marvel?
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure that was the first movie I saw with Robert Downey Jr. in it. And I was like.
Post-cocaine addict.
Yeah.
Stuff. Okay.
But Charlie Bartlett. So Anton Yelchin plays like a really disaffected kid who's growing up really wealthy. And he's been kicked out of every private school. So he goes to public school for the first time. And in order to ingratiate himself with his classmates, he starts dealing them psychopharmaceuticals and giving them like psychiatric advice in the toilet stand. And it's a really well performed. I think Anton Yelchin is phenomenal in that movie. And it's a really nice movie. It wasn't like exceptionally great, but it was a really worthwhile thing to see.
I don't want to wait until this episode airs to find out. Did you say it was on Stan?
Yeah, it's on Stan.
Oh, that's great because my DVD version of it's like scratch, so I haven't been able to watch it.
It's definitely worth watching, and Anton Yelchin is really good. And then I rewatched Mean Girls again.
That's so fast.
I think that movie is as close to perfect as you can get as far as like traditional screenplay structure because everything is set up perfectly. Mm. And then another thing my sister pointed out when we were watching it, the continuity of the background extras in that movie is like nothing you've ever seen. They don't just have background extras. All the little characters that have their little beats, you know, like the, oh, you know, she once punched me in the face. It was awesome. She shows up here and there in places where it makes sense. So when they do the school dance, when they're doing, it's the, when it's, you watch it next time, because you all will watch it next time.
I think I watch it like once a year.
Yeah.
I think it's like a year.
Yeah,
I don't usually watch it for the extras, but.
Follow the extras and follow the characters. So like the guy who Regina George is sleeping with in the projection booth above the thing is the guy who, what was it? He's at the party and he's the one. It's like just everything follows, and if you look at it from like a very objective point of view, all the threads match up to the right place. It's really clever.
I'm really hoping, because it was Sisters written and directed by Tina Fey, or written by Tina Fey as well.
I think so.
Because I would love if there's like a Tina Fey universe and we've never realized.
And all the Tina Fey characters exist in the same universe.
They're all in the background. All the extras are the same.
I'd watch that movie. It's like being John Malkovich, being Tina Fey.
Oh, yeah.
I want to do that. Oh, my God. But yeah, that's all I've watched. Oh, I watched The Shape of Water with Josh as well, which I loved it even more the second time. I cried more. I noticed more the details in the design of that movie.
There was a moment too, because I did not know this coming, because you were talking about how he wanted to shoot in black and white, and then when it went black and white and did the musical number, and I was just like, oh my God.
The black and white sequence, I think, is up there with one of my favorite moments in cinema history. Mm. It just... See, he was going to shoot it in black and white, and I was telling Chance, I reckon if he did it, got to do it in black and white, the musical number would have been in color.
Absolutely, yeah.
Nice return. Anyway, so that's all I've been watching. So let's get into our
main... That's all, Shane?
Yeah, I know. Well, look, you should
see... That's doing a lot.
I do 4 movies a week, and I try and watch TV shows. So anyway, so our main topic. So games for movie fans. What kind of are there, do you guys reckon?
Well, I've got my classic that I always go to. This was something I used to, but I don't think I've spoken about it on air. I know I've told you guys before, back in high school when I had time and didn't give a shit about study because math, I spent a lot of my time watching movies, obviously. I always watch them at like 1.25 speed so I could watch more movies.
Wait,
more
so
time.
Why would you do that?
So I could watch more movies in a day.
But it's 1.25, so you're only saving a quarter. So you'd have to watch 4 movies in the day to make up enough time for a single hour and a half movie.
Yes, and I did. I would watch 5 movies a day. It was perfect.
Was it? I was on the Second Take podcast, also available on That's Not Canon, and I was with the guys, and they told me they'd watched movies at double speed.
Yeah, double speed's too much. 1.25 is the right.
Have you done it recently?
No, I haven't. I really should, because now I don't have time. Whereas back then I had loads of time, so I was like, I watch more movies. Whereas now I have no time.
The filmmakers, skip the credits. If you have to skip the credits. That's 7 minutes a movie. So you'd only need to skip like 6 watts of credits to have enough time for a movie.
Yeah, that means I have to watch 6 movies to watch 7, whereas I could watch 4 movies to watch 5. Boom. Mathematics.
I feel like mathematically my version actually works out to
math. Anyway, failed you.
This had nothing to do with the game. the whole thing I used to do is, and I had 2 versions of the game. I called it Degsep. Degrees of Separation.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Where I would either grab 2 random movies in my extensive DVD collection, and I was like, all right, cool. How can I connect these 2 movies? I would start with, say, Evil Dead, and I was like, all right, Evil Dead's got Bruce Campbell in it. Bruce Campbell's in Sky High. Sky High has Lucy Lawless in it.
Sidekick.
And I would just go through, connect the movies in like 4 or 5 moves, and then I'd watch those 5 movies. Otherwise, if I wanted to just have more vagueness to it, I would have to pick 1 movie. And then from that movie, I watch it, I finish it, and I go, all right, cool. This movie is directed by this person. It stars this people. What in my collection is connected to this movie? And I'd find one that was either directed by the same person or written by or starring one of the other people. Yes. And then I'd watch that movie, and I'd go through and I'd watch 5 movies a day because I was watching 1.25 speeds.
So what you're trying to say is you had no friends.
You were my friend, Shane. Or at least I thought you were. No.
We never did movie nights, though.
Yeah, it's because I was too busy watching movies by myself.
You lived quite far away from where I was.
Yeah,
and none of us drive.
Yeah, I lived up the north side at that point.
Wait, really?
Fernie Hills, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm a fucking idiot.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, during that time in my life, I literally only went out with people to watch movies. I remember the guys at Garden City Cinema used to think I was like the biggest slut because I remember one time I walked down and bought tickets with 3 different girls in the one day because I wanted to watch three movies. And people look at you weird when you go and watch movies by yourself. So I was like, hey, Katie, want to watch a movie? Sick, let's go.
I've recently started doing that though, watching it by myself.
Oh, yeah. No, I've matured. I've grown up. I think when I was about, I want to say 18 is when I started going, fuck it, watch movies by myself.
Yeah. I'm the weirdo who would just watch movies by myself. What was I? 14. And I just started going by myself. I saw The Shape of Water. No, Lady in the Water.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's the water cinematic universe. I watched Lady in the Water on my own. And I didn't mind that movie, actually. I don't get the loathing people have for it. And I watched The Covenant, which is a terrible movie. I watched The Number 23. I would just go because...
interesting. I didn't
want to miss the movies and no one wanted to watch the weird movies I wanted to watch. So I just
went. I was younger, that's what I did. Because I remember seeing... what was it? Lord of the Rings: Two Towers by myself, and I was the only young person in the audience. And then I got creeped out and never did it again.
The Two Towers, young people weren't in the Lord of the Rings.
No, it was all old people. I think maybe young people were at school, and I was like, "I'm gonna go watch a
movie."
Yeah,
it's midday.
It's
like,
yeah. But that was how I first watched In Bruges, because I went in with a girl, and we were like, because I'd already seen three movies that day, and I was like, "I've seen the three movies I want to see today. This is my fourth movie. Let's watch that random one, In Bruges. Best choice of my life. Best date I ever had.
Wow."
Not a date. I went and watched a movie.
That's a date, isn't it? Well, for me, I think I have, like, at home, I have seen it.
Yep.
The board game.
Yeah, right.
But no one ever wants to play with me.
No, well, I play it with
Well, you've
you.
Played it. You've played it. But then we're always with people who aren't, like, as
so not in our sphere. You know, no one wants to play with you outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, Chanel and your family all lose, and it's you versus me, really.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it always goes. And I had, like, the movie-themed versions of stuff like Monopoly, like the Lord of the Rings Monopoly.
Okay, we're counting that, because I wasn't really sure. I'm just like, I did stuff like Chance that just, like, did associated with, like, games with, like, movies that I own.
Like party games, like ones that you don't like, not actual physical board games or a thing. Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't have anything myself.
So. Well, what is there? Did you have any or?
No, it's just like I did stuff like similar to Chancellor because I had no friends either.
Well, there's, I'm going to like skip to this part because it kind of fits in, but there's like other party games. So there's the Six Degrees.
Yeah.
And the initial version of the game is Six Degrees of Separation with Kevin Bacon. But
now you can Google that. You literally go, this person's name, degrees of bacon, and it comes up with how far away they're from
Bacon.
But
now the thing is, what you do is you change it. So it's not Kevin Bacon, it's any actor. I once connected, who was it? Rob Schneider with Judi Dench in Less Than 6 Degrees. It's really cool. And then there's also one that I didn't know was a thing. It's called Actor Movie Actor.
Yeah, which we saw on Dailies.
On Dailies, a Brisbane web series. By a friend of ours, which you can look it up. And that's where it's like someone says a movie and then someone has to say an actor who's in that movie and then someone has to say a movie with that actor in it, but that's not the first one. You just keep going around to see who stumbles first. But we have a very special thing today. So I've been talking to these guys from, it's a company called Tin Star Games. You can find them on Facebook. I was having dinner with some people after a screening of my feature and they were telling me about this game. I'm like, this sounds amazing. I want to buy a copy of this.
I was there for that.
You were there. So Scott, our friend of ours,
left.
Scott Driscoll and Paul Ruhr. I feel like we shouldn't say surnames because then people are just going to stalk these people, but... I don't
too
know.
Too late.
As soon as you said it, our producer Zane C. Weber keyboard lit up and he started typing something. And I'm like, someone's
our
already
producer's stalking. So then they were talking about this game. And I'm like, really cool. So I sent an email. I'm like, do you have any news about this game? I'd love to buy it. And he's like, we're still in sort of development stages. And then we started making this podcast. And I'm like, we could do the game on the podcast because it'd be like, you know, there's podcasts for like role-playing games and sort of stuff like that. And so I sort of was chatting to them back and forth and they were sort of working on the game and they've let us do this on air to help spruik them but also to give us a segment for the thing. So a little bit about the game. The game was designed by veteran game designer Steve D and his two friends Murray Keir and Gareth Wilcock. They were inspired to make the game after having long conversations like via email about all like the bad film tropes that they kept seeing show up in different movies. And it was also inspired by kind of like there's a storytelling game called Once Upon a Time where like someone goes once upon a time, they start saying something and then you go to the next person. It's a very theater sports kind of game where players have to improvise a story.
In school as well.
Yeah. So drama class and that. Yeah. And you have to improvise a story from the elements randomly drawn on cards. So the game contains over 500 film tropes on a small deck of 100 cards. So you can carry an idea generating power. powerhouse with you in your pocket. And what's cool is there's some games that come with it, but you can also really use it as a writer to help either with writer's block or developing your own stories or coming up with something from scratch that you can then use as the groundwork for a project that you're working on.
So kind of like cue cards.
Cue cards for ideas and plots and generating kind of stories. But the game comes with like three games that you can play as well as a full role-playing thing called Genre Cops, which is like about it's they've explained it to me and they're going to put all the rules. So when you buy the game, you get sort of the rules and it's
I was going to
really
say,
cool.
We didn't play Genre Cops before this. Are you going to throw this game at us?
No. Because I think we're still waiting on getting the final rules where they've sort of detailed how to do that. And I've also never done a role-playing game. I feel like I should do something role-playing beforehand.
Well, that's when we can bring in our very special guest, Zane C. Weber, who hosts many role-play games.
And role-playing a podcast now available on thatsnotcanonproductions.com. We're just plugging
this
everything.
This is our plug episode. Anything else you guys want to plug?
A plug episode. But anyway, so what you get the cards, you get three games that you can play and a full role-playing game about genre-busting cops fighting across fictional genres. And you get all of this for $30 plus postage. There'll be links in the show notes. So it's published by Tin Star Games, who also make lots of other great games. That's a tongue twister. They make great games, including many for free.
I want to back up a bit. Sorry, did you say that was $30 including posting or plus postage?
Yeah, $30 plus postage.
Holy crap, that's so good.
It's really good.
I don't want to sound like a, oh my God, did you just... But that's
what you said, a steal.
As someone who plays a lot of board games, that is so good.
It's good. And it's a really cool deck too. And the deck's really modular, so it's not like once you've run through the game a couple of times, you're kind of done, because it's different every time you play, because each card has their own sort of elements on it.
It's thankfully enough variety to it that it doesn't
get boring
quick.
And you can get it at, the links will be in the show notes for that, or you can check out tinstargames.weebly.com for their website. So what we're going to do now is, so there's three versions of the game. The first one's called Pitch It To Me, and that's sort of a long form version where each player comes up with their own movie idea and they pitch it to someone who's pretending to be an executive. We were going to play that one on air, but it just sort of, as far as having the time, making it a bit more dynamic, because this is an audio only podcast, no video yet. No, I don't think I would have the
patience. Just get a GoPro, chuck it in the corner. People can see us wave our arms around like idiots while
that's what they do, and then they put it on YouTube and then they get a million views. But anyway, so we're going to play it. There's a secondary.
Why aren't we doing that?
We should.
Yes.
We'll sort it out. But there's a second variation of the game called Then What Happens. And so what it is kind of each player is taking a prompt from the card and building a story. So it's kind of like that Once Upon a Time theater sports game, and you take the prompt from the card.
It's a whole bunch of idiocy, especially with us.
Well, it's funny. We played, so before we recorded this episode, we played a couple of practice rounds so that we knew that we could do it.
I swear we peaked off air.
We probably did. And we'll make like the bad Oscar bait drama or something next. Every card we pull will be that.
We brought back Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
We brought back Rick Moranis into the field of acting. So I guess we'll just start. What we're going to do is we're going to be rolling the dice. I'm going to try and fill dead air. So Chance will start off. Cool. He'll roll the dice.
Okay, I'm going to try and roll it near the microphone.
Roll it near the microphone.
Zane, did you hear that?
Excellent. Oh, wow. Excellent. And each card lists these elements different. There's plot, character, genre.
Scene and ending.
And so he's rolled a five.
Cool. So I've got number five. It's an ending, which is really difficult to
start
off
on the ending.
With.
Well, hey, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, true.
Memento.
Cool. So it's an uneasy alliance. So I'm going to say that a werewolf and a vampire. This is how the movie starts. The movie starts with the ending where a werewolf and a vampire, they both join forces and they're like, you know what? We need to take down Hitler. God damn it.
Is it set in World War II?
It is set in World War II. So they've got to take down Hitler.
Because they've been warring
for
years.
So is this the start of the third act? This is like the...
No. This is the start of the movie.
This is the start of the movie. We're starting at the end. So you know that at some point, this vampire and this werewolf
will decide
to take down Hitler.
Oh, right. It would be
3 weeks earlier.
Yeah, exactly. So they decide they've got to take down Hitler. They've been warring for ages. They've got to put aside their differences and take down Hitler. Go next Josh. Prompt.
Go Josh.
Oh dear.
Okay, right. And so that was the ending. Okay, so Josh's going
to roll. I'm rolling mine now.
Got a number two.
Two, guys. And my number two. It's plot, and it's like, hey, that's your mom.
So this will be interesting to see where this goes. Okay, hey, that's your mom.
This is a plot point. So what did you say? It was a werewolf and a vampire?
Werewolf and a vampire, yeah.
But they've been at war. So are we going back to the start where they're at war?
I think so. Okay, 3 weeks earlier.
3 weeks, 3 weeks earlier.
In a full-scale war set during... It is during the 1940s,
yeah.
Right? So, okay. So hey, that's your mum. So let's say there's the werewolf clan walking about town doing their business, kind of like maybe like what we do in the shadows, but maybe a bit more darker.
Darker and gritty.
Less, dark and gritty.
Swearwolves. But gritty.
Werewolves. WE'RE. Werewolves.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. The plot. There's no plot. There's a plot in this movie.
So, okay, so that's hey, that's your mom. So they're walking about town and then they discover that the main werewolf's mom is missing and they're like, hey, where is she? We can't find her. So they're searching all about town and this like kicks off like the chase sequence of events. This is a mystery.
Sorry,
like,
is this going to be what starts the war? Is it the vampires?
I believe just the war's already amping up. Maybe it's already... Tensions are really high. This is what breaks them.
Right.
So they're like, what's going on? And then eventually they're just like, we got to find the vampires. This is too suspicious.
Okay, so they don't find the body.
No,
so
they don't find the body yet.
Like, no spoiler alerts, but is this like Dirk Gently season 2 right now?
Well, that's a bit more complicated.
But with like mums and less pink hair, more werewolves.
Yeah, they're searching for the mum. They're going about town. Tensions are high.
Yeah, tensions are high. And then they're like, wait, we need to find vampires now. This is too suspicious.
They're suspicious. They reckon the vampires have kidnapped the mum.
She's missing and like the house is in shambles and there's like...
The mum is the war general of the werewolves.
She's the head.
She's the war general of the werewolves. Okay, I'm rolling a 4. It's a 4.
Oh God!
It's a genre. It's a Christmas movie. So we Shane Black it up.
Shane Black it up.
It's set at Christmas time. It's the first Christmas of World War II. First Christmas during World War II, and they're searching for this.
That's why they're looking for their mum, right?
Yeah, they're looking for the mum. They're all together on. It was meant to be the big family reunion, the werewolf family reunion. And
they're all wearing the sweaters that she's knitted last year for them.
But World War II sweaters, so they're like got holes and stuff because they're all poor from the war. But they're looking for it, and you can make Christmas time and you can make it serious. I reckon we need to keep it somewhat.
It's just turning into a wonderful life. It's just a
it is. It's a wonderful. It's a werewolf full life.
It's a werewolf.
So they're searching for the mum. World War II. They reckon the vampires have done it. And vampires because all the Christmas iconography that's around at Christmas time is all the crosses and stuff. They can't, where the vampires can't be around that. So they've secluded themselves off in a hill away from town. So they've decided the vampires have kidnapped the mum. They're going to band together. They get all their weapons and they go up to the werewolf, to the vampire hideaway to seek out their missing
movie?
Mother. Maybe.
Can
maybe.
I just say, maybe. I honestly love that idea and I want to write a Christmas vampire movie now. Where they can't hang around. They're like, too much Christian iconography. I can't do it.
That's really cool.
You heard it here first, folks. We've actually made something.
Number 4, I got plot. They are the cool kids.
Well, they've got their weapons. Now they're the cool kids.
They're the cool kids. So the werewolves are going
maybe
up to the hill.
Like,
in order to disguise themselves, the werewolves have to have a dress-up montage, like 80s style, and now they're the cool kids because they're dressed
up. One of them takes off their glasses.
Are they dressing up as vampires?
I think they have to.
They all shave because they're...
There's a shaving montage.
Just like these massive dog wolf men shaving their bodies.
They're shaving each other as well.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well, Zack Snyder directed this, obviously.
Oh, okay, cool.
Close-up.
Shane Black wrote it. Zack Snyder directed it.
Yep. Okay. Yep. So they're dressing up like as the cool kids because the vampires are considered the cool kids.
Exactly.
And the werewolves are like the burnout.
Like, I know Twilight now is kind of like, well, vampires are cool. It was happening in World War II as well. Look at Hitler's hair. He was really into vampires.
They're just playing baseball all the time.
They're playing baseball. They're smacking it long. I don't know why Bella's playing with vampires because she's not going to win. But so the werewolves like rock up to the place. They look like vampires and they genuinely do look like vampires. They fool the vampires. The vampires are like, oh, these are the cool kids now.
So they're going to infiltrate.
So the vampires let them in. They're like, yeah, no, come on.
And it's like this like really tense kind of Inglourious Bastard scene because there's, you know, you
at
know.
At the door though. Because
at the door.
Yeah,
at the door.
Yeah. So like, they need permission to come in. They need to pretend they need permission.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Oh, like, oh,
that's so good. Yes. That's so good. Okay. Okay. Right. And then what happens?
All right. I roll fast. Number four again. So that's a genre. So it's a family film.
It's
about the family. So, well, it's similar to like mafia style. There's like two gangs, but it's all really about the families. Well, they're all family.
The Godfather is a family film. Like, it's not a family. It's not four families.
Well, it's the werewolf clan and the vampire clan, and it's about them reconciling their differences, maybe, or can turn into
to fight Hitler.
That's right.
So they're waiting for permission to get in. They get across.
And then there's this big moment where there's like, hey, wait, who are you guys though? Like, we let you in. You're kind of cool, but do we actually know you? And it's just like, hey, I'm actually your cousin Vinny from
part of the family.
Part of the family. So they, as they try, like, and they're like, hey, should we celebrate some stuff? So they start celebrating. They maybe drink some blood that's like in wine glasses, and they're like, ooh.
Okay, so they're going to drink some blood.
Meanwhile,
I imagine they get into the house and it's like a cantina shot of vampires.
Yeah, totally. Of like different types of vampires, like really like ancient looking vampires and like youthful vampires. And then they're like fully decked out in their cool guy gear and they're just like, yeah. And they're like kind of
period accurate cool guy gear. Because remember, this is 1940s.
But they got the fake vampire teeth.
They're all swing dancing. It's like an underground swing dancing club.
What's that movie with Christian Bale in it? Swing Kids?
Swing Kids, yeah.
Swing Kids. With, it's like underground.
Okay. Let's roll it. Let's continue on.
So they're there and they have to drink blood. I've rolled a number two. Enemies in high school. Okay. No, this works. This works because they're at the party, they're blending in, and then all of a sudden across the room they see the girl who they went to high school with, and she knows who they are because this is they were turned to vampires and before they were turned to werewolves. She knows them. So the jig is up. They're worried about what's going to happen, so they confront her and she's like, you're not, and then they cover her mouth and they take her aside and they take her into a side room and they're like, she's like, what the fuck are you doing here? I should call the vampire queen. You can't have werewolves in here.
Well, what if the vampire queen has been missing? Just like the werewolf mum.
Just like the werewolf mum.
They've been blaming each other.
Okay.
But really, it's the werewolf queen's missing.
So it's this big confrontation scene.
Maybe, yeah. No, she thinks they've come.
Maybe it's a big public confrontation scene.
Oh.
And it's just super tense. So she's like, you're werewolves. And it's like, and like everyone turns to look at them at once, that kind of thing. And it's a pretty tense thing. And like, and then they decide to stall. They're like, you stole our mother. We want our mother back. And they're like, no, you stole our mother.
Yeah, yeah. Just like,
you stole our mother. So it's like this Shane Black kind of mistaken identity comedic thing. Okay, and so they say, well, what are we going to do now?
What are they going to do? I got a number four.
Three, four.
Oh my God, I just figured out how to relate this to Hitler. It's so perfect.
Is it what I'm thinking?
Because Hitler studied occult stuff all the time.
Yeah.
So he's trying to make immortality, and because werewolves have longevity and vampires have... and the vampires have the immortality, he wants both.
Exactly.
So he's kidnapped them.
Which is why number four... The plot we got is a marriage in trouble.
Marriage in trouble.
It's Christmas. There are families. If there's a vampire queen who's been stolen, there's clearly a vampire king.
You know, can we relate something. It to be the marriage of the entire family unit is in trouble?
It's not like a literal marriage.
Yeah, it's the marriage of like the clans.
Yeah, I mean, that's trouble. What we did with the family. So why not do it with marriage? Like,
keep it consistent.
Exactly.
No. In order to... No, I got this. The vampire queen and the... Oh, no, this is turning into... Can we make it... No, okay. The vampire queen and the vampire... And the werewolf general lady...
Yeah.
Have decided to get married, to team up.
They've eloped.
They've eloped to try and team up to take down Hitler together because, like, that's the only way because Hitler's hunting us down. He wants our secrets. He's experimenting on us.
They found out. It's not like they've already been taken by Hitler.
Wait,
they've eloped.
They each had to fake their own kidnapping because they had to go undercover
as well.
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
That is a marriage in trouble.
It's a marriage in trouble.
Okay. Also, marriage equality, 70 years before it happened in Nazi Germany, no less.
What if no, what if like their husbands have been kidnapped and the marriage is in trouble and they think the husband's been sleeping with each other? That's what started their cues, and now that's okay. why they're...
But it's actually that the Hitler's taken them.
Hitler's taken them, yeah. So they think, and so that's how they've confronted each other, but then, so they've gone after it. Okay, the big showdown, like you did it, and then both queens show up, and there's like another, and everyone turns again. It's just this big like reveal sequence, and they're like, we have to band together to defeat Hitler.
Okay. Rolling.
And so we're back to where it started. So
it's been 3 weeks already.
Been 3 weeks of planning and plotting.
So two character terrorists.
Oh, so no. No, no.
They oh, I'm stealing your thunder here, Josh. But what they're going to do is they're going to blow up Hitler's bunker.
So in an effort to... All right, so they're banded together now. They, it's an uneasy alliance because they're still not entirely sure what's going on. So there's still like a lot of quips and there's like a very Shane Blackie and then like Christmas and it's like there's still like that family division going about, but they do have a purpose and that purpose directs them to be like, we need to stop Hitler, we need to blow this building up. So what we need to do is build a bomb and use our vast knowledge of our vampire knowledge and our werewolf knowledge throughout the years to build a bomb and then storm it. And then we might be labeled terrorists, but we've got to do this to save our family.
The guy forksing Hitler.
The guy forksing
okay, Hitler. Okay, and I'll take the dice and we'll find the end. So they're building this bomb, they're building this bomb. Please give me an ending.
Remember the 25th of December.
Alternative history. Well, that kind of fits.
Well, yeah, that works perfectly.
They kill Hitler.
Boom.
And then they decide to reveal themselves to the world as benevolent dictators.
Oh, jeez.
They are the vampires and the werewolves rule humans together to stop anything like World War II happening ever again. It started as an uneasy alliance.
You
and
are
now
lesser
it's an-
beings. We are the ascended.
Look, we know what it's like to be at war. We were at war for ages. We saw your war. It was pretty fucked. Let's
your
not do it again.
Your war was so bad. We stopped being at war. So now we're going to stop you. And so it started as an uneasy alliance and ends as the strongest bond between races. Dun, dun.
That was beautiful, guys.
Directed by Zack Snyder.
Written by Shane Black.
I want to watch it. It's kind of Monster Squad-y, isn't it? A little bit?
A little. I honestly really
monster,
do want to make
monster,
a vampire
monster
Christmas
squad
movie.
That was very... Inglourious Monster Squad.
That entire thing reminded me of the Key and Peele sketch when they're pitching Gremlins 2 and they're like, oh, this is actually the movie.
Yeah.
This is that.
Okay, well, so that's that version of the game. And we played a version of it before where it was a drunken master, Jackie Chan.
Tom Holland gets killed.
Tom Holland was like learning drunken master
We
technique.
Psychoed you bitches.
Yes, but he was learning in Prohibition era and his like dad was like a cop, but like a not John Dillinger, I think. John Dillinger's the gang. I don't know American.
John Dillinger.
Yeah. See, what I gotta say is what I like about this game is the fact that even though, no, the actual idea was stupid, but there were nuggets there. It's like, oh, we actually came up with something good.
And you can always bounce it because I'm like, I kind of like, yeah. I don't know, I like the idea of like, it's like the cool kids, like that kind of thing, but set in a period piece because you never see that.
Yeah, and also teaching us like, how can we effectively blend genres.
Yeah, exactly.
Fine. Genre blending is great. So what we're going to do real quick is we're going to play the quick fire version of the game. It's called Cliche Anything. And what happens is you roll a dice and you roll the dice and you read out the corresponding element on the card. And the first person to name a movie that has that in it then gets the card. And like in Cards Against Humanity, the first person who has five cards wins. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the round. I may have invented the rule, but so we're going to go first. I'll roll the dice and then the first person to name it. So I've rolled a five and the element is, it's a plot element and it grows gigantic.
Them.
Yeah.
Them. Okay. Yeah. So, and then Chance wins the card.
Yay.
And what's amazing about this game is that the movies that you think of first relating to an element are movies you would never think would be your first go-to.
Yeah, exactly.
But they are, and then you're always kicking yourself. It was like, I should have said this one. I should have said this one. Okay.
See,
okay.
I already know, I can only think of one movie.
What did you roll?
So I rolled a four. It's a character. It's a Vegas showgirl.
Showgirls.
Showgirl. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Come on, man.
Showgirls. Is Showgirls set in Vegas?
Yeah.
Oh, it is? Okay, I haven't seen AIDS.
All right, Showgirls. I'm going to roll now. Okay. Ooh, I rolled a three, so... My element is an end, and they find their niche.
Mean Girls. No, not really.
Geography Club. Ha-ha.
I don't know Geography Club.
It's a really bad movie, but they find their niche. It's very, okay. It's very. Oh. I win that one. I know. It's interesting.
I win.
Do you win that one?
It's a terrible. Like, I mean, look, you're welcome to
contest
because it's like a bunch of kids who are like all closeted and stuff, and then they make Geography Club because no one wants to go to Geography Club, so they make that to basically have like an LGBT group in disguise. Oh, and then what happens is they're kind of outed, but they keep their club anyway, and a couple of people join, so they find their niche.
Oh, so, cool. Do they actually learn anything about geography?
No, although, see, I read the book and then I watched the movie.
Shane rolled a one, the books, by the way.
I rolled a one. I read the book, and in the book, someone comes accidentally, part of the plot, someone shows up thinking it's geography and they have to pretend to do geography. And that was never in the movie. And I'm like, why did you leave that out? That would have been a really funny scene. Yeah. So I rolled a one. It's a scene at a haunted castle.
A haunted mansion?
Castle.
Oh, you know what? Young Frankenstein.
Oh, yes. I was about to go, Frau Blücher. Okay, what is Chance on? Chance is on two, on one. Right. Josh is on one.
So technically, I am winning. I rolled a four. It is an end. Okay, love conquers all.
Shape of Water.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Timely as well.
It's so good. Oh, fuck. All right, I love
rolling now. Rolled a three. The frame is it's a plot, and you'll do the same if you were me.
Oh God, you'd do the same if you were me.
Yeah,
it's
I
a
know
plot.
This. It's so
Oh fuck! I feel like it's like a Matt Damon-y kind of movie. You'd do the same if it were me. If you were me. Oh
man! If only Zane was playing. He's doing all these. Come on,
quick,
you know this.
Zane Whisper a movie. Whisper musical theater. Wait.
Wait.
What?
Fuck. No, not Chicago. Wait, Chicago, yeah.
Oh, it is too.
Oh, oh yeah, of course.
But
so
I can't
obvious.
Do it alone. Yeah, that is like the whole plot of Chicago. Okay, so I've rolled six and we have... it's a plot. Outrageous foreign accent.
Pink Panther, I would say. It's
okay.
Plot.
Wait, what did he say?
Pink Panther.
Cool, yeah. I was going to say Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I thought like the obvious one is, oh God, no. That is the worst. I want to make a cut of Breakfast at Tiffany's that removes him from it.
Do it. Fan edits are great fun.
But it would, like, you can literally cut him out. He has no impact
except
on the
for
plot
the one whatsoever. The Last Jedi, where it removed all the women.
And it's like 43 minutes.
Oh, wait, did they actually do that?
Yeah. It was. I There's feel no. like it was a troll post.
Yeah, it's got to be a troll.
Okay, chance to go.
So it's a plot.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot think of one. Maybe one. It was all Belgium's fault.
In Bruges.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Why didn't I not think of that?
That was a tie. Read another
one. Yeah, that was
one.
A tie.
Roll it. So just roll it and read from the same card.
So we got a tie. I'll roll again and do the same card. So I got number one. It's an ending. Violence solves everything.
Kill Bill.
Yeah. Cool.
Yes.
Yeah. I would have done John Wick myself, but yeah.
John
Kill
Wick.
Bill.
Actually, yeah, no, John Wick. John Wick works. Okay, three. Any how many are you on? Are you on three or four, Chancellor?
I am on three as well.
Okay, we're nearly.
All right, I'm rolling now, and I got a three, rolled a three, picking the card, and it's a scene, and all at sea.
In the heart of the sea.
Yep.
Done. Ron Howard directed. I'm on four. I'm nearly winning. Okay, God number three, it's an ending. Everyone joins in the dancing.
Footloose.
Okay, this might be the deciding. This
okay,
might be
Josh,
the deciding
you need
one.
To win this one so I don't lose. Okay, I got a three. Fuck. Be quick, Josh. No pressure.
Eve. What
it's
is
a
it?
Genre.
Jesus, all right.
Blockbuster.
Transformers.
You just mumbled, Josh.
Mumbled. No, I said Marvel.
You said Marvel. Marvel is not a.
I know.
I win.
Damn it!
You put pressure on me, Chancellor.
So I don't like cool. this.
I don't like this game. I lost.
So that's the game. It's really fun, and it'll be available when this episode drops. You can find it on our show links. The links in the show notes. We'll make a post of it. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a very special competition. So I have my own deck up here, but I'm going to buy another deck and we're going to give it to free as a for someone to win. This is really weird. You can win a deck of this from us. What we're going to do is we have rolled the dice and picked a card and you have to give us a movie that corresponds to that element. And what we'll do is we'll put a post up on the Facebook page as well and Twitter and Instagram. And you just need to comment, like, and share. And in your comment, you have to give us an answer to a movie where they say the titular line. So titular, if that's not boobies, that's they say the line of the title. So
oh my God.
For example,
I wish titular meant booby.
They say the booby line.
You can make it
that way. So we'll put a post up on that. And if you like and comment and share. And if you've done all those things, we'll pick the winner and we will send you...
Randomly pick the winner. We're not, whoever's first, nah, screw you.
No, no, yeah, we will randomly...
It's not about speed, it's about...
Well, we'd like
masses?
To... Yeah.
Persistence.
Persistence is key. So, and then we will post that deck to you and you can play all these fun games and more. So
we are going to do an episode where we actually play genre cops, right?
Oh, hell yes. Yeah, we're going hell yes. Yes. I'm just waiting on the official rules to be sent to me. Yeah, and cool, I good, probably good, think good. We might get Zane to come in and be DM or something because I have no idea how to do these things. But it's a really fun game, a really fun deck. And the guys who made it are really great. They're independent game creators. It's really cool. So go out and support them.
How many players can it get up to?
You can get
we've played with five people.
We've played with five people. I think all like the long form games, you can go anywhere up to six. Or more, two to six, four to six. It's a really versatile deck of cards that gets a lot of things. So yeah, but we're going to do genre cops down the track once we've got the official rules and
excellent.
We can sort it out because I think it'll be a really fun kind of thing to do.
Are we able to play it in 1 hour or will we have to do like episodic, split it up?
Either or. We could do like an hour version of it. We could do an episodic version of it. It'll be an ongoing thing and we might bring the deck to play quick rounds of stuff at the end of episodes or whatever, depending on how much work I've put into the show beforehand. But we'll end with our top five, and our top five will be movies based on or about games of some kind, not video games, though I put, because we're going to do a whole episode on video games, I think, down the track.
We'd have to. There's we'd have to.
So I'll do my list because I feel like you guys are still maybe coming up with you.
No, I've got my list.
I'll do my list first anyway because fuck you guys. My top five.
All right, Shane.
I have, I don't have honorable mentions for this one, but number five is Slumdog Millionaire, which is based on a game, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And it's an amazing movie. Number four is a documentary called Bobby Fischer Against the World, which is about Bobby Fischer. It's by a documentarian. Her name's Liz Garber. She's actually probably one of my favorite documentary filmmakers. She did a movie called What Happened, Miss Simone a couple of years ago for Netflix. She's exceptionally good at what she does. And this is about Bobby Fischer and the big match that he had against the Russian to decide the future of the Cold War, but it was chess. So,
I heard about that.
It's a very iconic thing, and the documentary is about that, and then it follows him afterwards and how he kind of lost his mind. Number three is Ouija, Origin of Evil.
I knew Ouija, cool. Origin of Evil would be on here.
I think it's one of the best sequels I've made because the first one is so shit and the second one is actually amazing, and then Mike Flanagan directed.
Such a really fun board game as well.
I've never played it. Has anyone? Have you guys actually played with a Ouija board?
Yeah. Not an official Hasbro Ouija board, just like a makeshift one.
Does it? But see, I don't believe in any of that stuff. So it would be, really terrible. You will believe. Number two is Clue.
Yep.
I fucking love that movie so much. If you haven't seen it, watch it. It's an adaptation. Or Australians know it as Cluedo. Is the board game is known here.
The movie's called Clue here.
Yeah,
though,
but
right?
the board game is called Clue in America.
It only just occurred to me how Aussie it is.
Cluedo, man.
Yeah, Cluedo, mate.
That just happened too. Clue's an amazing movie. And then my number one, it's not my number one. I think I like Clue better, but Battleship.
Okay, yeah.
I am an apologist for that movie because I think it is criminally underrated and a lot better than what people say it is.
We are going to do a whole episode.
We're doing a whole episode on fighting.
Judging by Zane's face.
I want Zane in on this episode.
Zane is he's very special guest.
Very special guest again.
So that's my top five. We'll go to Josh.
Yeah, cool. My list is it's not in any particular order. It's just interesting. You had really good choices. I didn't even think of. Actually, I didn't think of Clue.
I feel like it's not vague, but it's very open.
Yeah, it's very open.
Like, well, I figured like you could include something like The Hunger Games because there are games.
Yeah, well, I did something. So starting at five, I did like the movie, like the most dangerous game. Hunting Man is the most dangerous
That's great.
Game. And it's the best
is
game.
Is it called, what's that movie called? Because that's like a joke in just like every sitcom at the moment. Game. They always go how like Jack Donovan.
It is a joke about it. I think it is called the most dangerous game.
Yeah, it's called the most dangerous
game. My fourth one is The King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters.
I love that movie.
Fucking Billy Mitchell, you piece of shit. Billy Mitchell. I will stand by that. It's a really good documentary. If you want to, it's a good documentary about the culture that surrounds it, and like,
It's about a competition for who can get the highest points on
in Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
I was about to say King Kong. That's not a game. but the director of it, Seth
just watching
Gordon,
the movie, getting points.
Who's gone on to do like a lot of big comedy movies. He did like Horrible Bosses and that's his first. Film is The King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters.
But I do love how Billy Mitchell was like, you made me look like the bad guy. And he's like, no, I had to cut so much out to like even have you be generally even slightly likable. And it's just like possible. My third one's Jumanji, because we all know the classic Robin Williams movie that we all know and love.
Have you seen the remake?
I have not.
The sequel, remake,
adaptation. Requel.
I don't like Kevin Hart at all. So
he's just playing the same thing all the time. My second one is Tron.
That's
a fun one. Classic movie.
Tron Legacy. See, I like Tron Legacy.
I still like Tron Legacy.
I love Tron Legacy.
Like the PS3 like graphic. that was really funny, but like...
Honestly, I accept it because it's in a like an arcade world. So I'm like, you know what? That's the first time.
Except for the clip that they show out in the real
world. Oh, at the
very
start? Yeah, nice stuff.
And my number one is Wreck-It Ralph, because it's like really fun movie. And
I love Wreck-It Ralph.
Cool. For me, I also have Clue. That's a good one. I had Jumanji, but because you said Jumanji, fuck it, Zathura.
Okay. Zathura's really good. John Favreau did that one.
Yeah, yeah. And it's great because I didn't realize at the time. It was because when I saw the remake of Jumanji, I was like, it looks like a spec script that they had to slap a property onto.
Absolutely.
Turns out, no, it was meant to be Jumanji 2. They wrote it that way. But Jumanji already had a sequel, which is Zathura.
Yeah.
The movies aren't related, but the books were literally sequels. They were the same characters and everything. Okay. Jumanji ends with them getting Zathura.
Oh. Wait, really?
I didn't know that detail. I was just like, I knew the link spiritually.
Up next is possibly the greatest adaptation ever, Dungeons and Dragons.
I haven't seen it.
Jeremy Irons. I watched that movie so many times. I rewound it all the time.
I always went to rent it out when I was a kid and never got to because I was...
And his henchmen are like licks inside of his ear and stuff.
I love that movie so much because it's so ridiculous. And it's
you know their remake? They're doing a Dungeons & Dragons movie coming out like next year.
No, it'll be like Warcraft.
They've already failed it once. Don't fail it again.
But in their defense, those are the best kind of movies to remake because if it's a bad movie, remake it and do it better as opposed to remaking a movie that was already great to begin with.
So my next one is a movie I haven't actually seen. I only saw the trailer to it, and it may be the greatest worst movie ever, Truth or Dare.
I saw the trailer.
I like the cast that they've got. I love all those actors in.
You must play
things.
The game. You must commit to the dare.
It sucks because it came out the same. The trailer came out the same morning as Slender Man. I watched Slender Man first, and that trailer was the biggest piece of shit ever.
Both garbage,
boring as shit, and I was really upset. And then I watched the trailer for Truth or Dare, and it just picked me up. I was like, this is fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch the fuck out of this.
They already spoiled a death in the trailer as well.
Yeah. And my number one pick is Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, my God. Yes.
But
everything about Scott Pilgrim.
It's related to the video. Okay. Yeah.
I was going
to
say, I was like, that's a comic book movie, John stuff.
I mean, yes, it is based on
I was worried about
book.
Semantics. I just completely forgot about that. Oh,
yeah. That's true. Yeah, that would be a pick. Well, thank you all for listening. That has been our episode. You can find us on Facebook at Mighty Motion Picture Rangers. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Picture Rangers. You can find me at Shane M_Anderson on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at Chanster or at Instagram at The Chanster.
You can find me on Twitter at That Sundance KD. It's in all caps, so cool.
I realized I was listening to our old episodes and you say the Sundance Kid and I'm like, is there a bunch of people who've tried to follow you and they've typed in kid?
Yeah, maybe.
You've missed out on all these followers.
Yeah.
And you can find this and many other great podcasts on thatsnotcanonproductions.com. I feel like we've pimped that enough though in this episode.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
If you have an email, pimping. If you want to ask us questions or stuff, feel free to send us through at motionpicturerangers@gmail.com is an email address. We want some fan mail, guys. We're sending this out into the void. We want... but anyway, thank you all for listening and we will see you again next week.
See you guys.
Bye. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.